The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Just flipping through the Bible, where would you stop to find information about angels? Today we will tour through the Bible and find those places. We're glad that you're joining us here on Grace in Focus. Thank you. Grace in Focus is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas and we have a website, faithalone.org. Lots to learn about us there, and we also have a YouTube channel, YouTube Grace Evangelical Society, where we release short videos a couple of times a week, and we encourage you to subscribe to our channel. YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. That website again, faithalone.org. With today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
Well, Philippe, we promised to do a biblical theology of angels, so do you have your running shoes on? Because we're going to be running through 8 different books or groups of books, so 8 stops about angels. You ready?
Yes, let's go.
All right, stop number 1. Genesis, and we've got lots of things here in Genesis. What do we have?
Of course, well, right away, you know, we go to Genesis 3, and there's a serpent that is there, and ultimately is identified as Satan, the devil, and the accuser of the brethren, and the adversary. And so, right away, paralleled in the book of Revelation, where he's referred to as a serpent of old.
Right.
And there are angels that meet with Abraham, that come to his tent compound
in Genesis 18
and eat with him, and 2 of them, who are distinctly angels, you know, go off to Sodom and there rescue Lot and his family. And then there's the angel of the Lord that appears also several times.
And we also have fallen angels in Genesis 6.
Yes, the angels that married the daughters of man and produced offsprings, probably the Nephilim there that are cited then in Genesis 6, verse 4.
So there's a lot in Genesis about angels.
Absolutely.
Okay, then we go to Exodus. Now, what do you got in Exodus?
Well, in Exodus, again, we have this disappearance of the angel of Yahweh, probably the pre-incarnate Christ.
To Moses.
To Moses.
On many occasions, right?
Yes.
Because he not only appears to him like the burning bush, but he appears to him when he's giving him the instructions about the tabernacle. And
even after the construction of the tabernacle, he will come and meet in person with Moses.
And the angel and talk with him. And he's the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So he actually met Jesus face-to-face on many occasions.
Yes.
Just like Abraham did too.
Yes. And then in Exodus 12, this is the Passover. And there is a destroying angel that comes and takes the lives of all the firstborn.
And that could be the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, although it could be like an archangel or something.
Yes.
But yeah, during the Passover, all of the firstborn of Egypt, including the firstborn of the major animals, Pharaoh's household, his son dies too, right?
Yes.
His oldest son. And so you've got that, and then you also have a description of the cherubim, right?
When we're in the construction of the Ark of the Covenant, there's the representation of the cherubim, and they have wings. The first appearance of a cherubim, of course, was in Genesis 3, an actual cherubim that guarded the way into the Garden of Eden. But here they're also represented as statues in this case, but also represented with the presence of the Lord.
Okay, time to jump to Job. And we got angels appear a number of times in Job also, right?
Yes, in Job 1 and 2, there's the sons of God. And there's Satan who appears. So there's some kind of a divine assembly, a divine council, you know, that
And the
that
sons
is there.
Of God refers to both fallen and unfallen angels.
Yes.
Right? They're angels. Yeah.
And Satan then comes and directly speaks with Yahweh.
He wants the privilege of being able to attack Job, right?
Yeah, well, he's an accuser of Job, you know.
Right.
If you do this to him, then of course he will deny you, he will curse you. And so that just appears in Job chapters 1 and 2. But then we have another reference to angels in the book of Job, which is in Job chapter 38, verse 7. We're told about the angels who were there at days of creation singing in praise and rejoicing.
They were rejoicing. And we wouldn't know that from any other verse in the Bible, right? That's where we get it. And these are the words of the Lord. These aren't the words of one of Job's quote-unquote counselors.
Right.
So Job is a key book for angels. Yeah. How about the Psalms?
Well, they're called ministers of God.
Right.
Wind as wind and
Psalm
flames of fire.
104.4.
Yeah, Psalm 104.4 and Psalm 91. He will give his angels charge over you. And
oh, that comes up in the temptation account where Satan says, throw yourself off the temple and your angels will basically quotes this verse. And Jesus says,
you should not tempt the Lord, God.
The Grace Evangelical Society Seminary, GES Seminary, is getting ready for the 2025 fall semester. All classes are online, and we are now ready to receive your application. GESseminary.org is where you apply. And if you want to begin study this fall, we must receive your application by July 29th. That's GESseminary.org. Classroom size is limited, so let us hear from you soon. Apply now. GESseminary.org.
All right, now another one. There's a lot in Daniel about angels, right?
Yes. And the book of Daniel really, in a significant way, lifts up the veil about what's going on in the unseen world.
Right.
The conflict that definitely affects the nations of the world. And two angels, good angels, unfallen angels, are introduced to us by name in Daniel.
Michael and Gabriel?
Yeah, Michael and Gabriel.
And Michael is, I don't think he's called an archangel here, but he is called an archangel elsewhere.
Yeah, in the book of Jude, he is called an archangel who argues with Satan over the body of Moses. But in the book of Daniel, he's referred to as the prince, you know, the prince that has oversight, charge over the matters concerning the nation of Israel.
He's a special angel for Israel. He's like the angel. In fact, isn't there a place in Daniel where Daniel's praying, but it's a long time before the angel comes to him because he's been involved in a conflict that's a regional conflict, right?
Yeah, at the time that the Persians were coming into power.
Right.
And Daniel, you know, knowing that the 70 years were at hand for the exiles to return, he begins to pray and confess. There's a conflict going on to prevent, I guess, the actual king of Persia to allow the return of the exiles, you know, as will happen with Cyrus.
Well, you've also got an angel involved, don't you, with Daniel in the lion's den?
Yeah, he sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lions in Daniel 6.
And then you also have angels are called watchers or something like that?
Yeah, in reference to Nebuchadnezzar's dream and to there's a reference made to watchers, and watchers may be fallen angels. We're not sure. But somehow they're involved behind the scenes. So Daniel is an important book concerning, again, the specific identity of some of the angels and this whole invisible war that is going on that's affecting the nations of the world, the nations of that time, as one empire gives way to another empire, the Babylonians, the Persians, and then later on, you know, with the Greeks and Alexander and all of that.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so Daniel's a key stop on our journey, but we better move on. We also have the Gospels, Hebrews, and Revelation. So what do we learn in the Gospels?
Well, right away, the temptation of Christ and Satan, the devil. He's referred to as a devil, I think, in several of the gospel accounts. Then, of course, there's all the demons, you know, the authority that Jesus has over them and the authority he delegates to the disciples, the 12 and then the 70s. And so there's this vast opposition, both demonic and satanic, occurring.
Yeah. But you also have angels who are giving aid to Jesus in a couple of different places, don't you?
When in the temptation account itself, angels came and ministered to him after that, and also in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's praying and then angels do come and minister to him to strengthen him and render aid to him.
And didn't he say at one point, too, that if he wanted, he could call down 6 legions of angels when he's on the cross?
Well,
right?
I think it was 12 legions.
12
if
legions,
he, yeah. You know, that he could, if he had been so inclined, you know, to call to do his rescue, 72,000 angels.
And it only took one to destroy 185,000 Syrian soldiers in the Old Testament.
Yes.
So these angels are pretty powerful beings. How about the book of Hebrews? What do we learn in Hebrews regarding angels?
Of course, Christ and the angels are compared in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 to 14. And verse 14 distinctly says that they are ministering spirits sent to render aid to those who will inherit salvation again being here,
right,
to be partners with Christ and rulers with Christ, their inheritance in the millennial kingdom and then the new earth. But also, chapter 13, verse 1, some have entertained angels, not aware of that, but they were being hospitable to actual angels.
In the first century. And that could be today.
Yes. We know that happened with Abraham, and I think that's alluded to in Hebrews 13:1, but it continues on. Because Hebrews 12 also talks about the innumerable number of angels that are there along with the assembly of the firstborn and Christ, 12:22.
Yeah. There. All right, final stop. There's a lot in Revelation about angels, right?
Yes. There's an interpreting angel that is sent to guide John and explaining much to him. There are the angels who are agents of judgment. They blow the trumpets, they pour the wrath of God out of bowls, upon the earth. We're told of angels that for a period of time restrain wind from blowing on the earth. We're told of four fallen angels that are currently bound at the river Euphrates, but who will be released to gather the nations of the world, to come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, of destruction, and where then Christ will come and deal with them.
And you've got two fallen angels that are mentioned by name.
Yeah, Abaddon, Apollyon. Those are names. And then Michael and his angels who battle against the devil and his angels.
And there's also an angel that chains Satan, right?
In Revelation chapter 20, an angel comes and grabs hold of the dragon and chains him in the abyss for 1,000 years.
Well, very good. I am winded after we've done this 5K through the biblical theology.
This is 5K. You do 20.
March, April, and May, I did three virtual half marathons, one each month, and now I'm paying for it. But angels are a terrific study, and I urge all of you to study angels because angels have a prominent role in the cosmic conflict. Angels have a big role in God's plan. And not only have they had a big role up till now, but they're going to have a big role forever. We're going to be interacting with angels, I assume, for all of eternity. The unfallen angels will be serving us and will be aiding us, right?
Yes, because we're partners with Christ, but I think angels will be our assistants in whatever ways we serve the Lord.
Amen.
Forever.
Well, thanks so much, Philippe. And always, let's keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, do Calvinists and Arminians both teach salvation by works? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.